Well, finally today, like any good New Englander, Will Dowd spent an entire year thinking about nothing but the weather. And in the spirit of Henry David Thoreau's Walden, Dowd kept a journal of his observations and the poetic beauty of what he saw across Massachusetts landscape. The result of his year-long introspection is his debut collection of essays titled Areas of Fog. And Will Dowd joins us now. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much for having me, Magna.
I'm going to have you read a little bit from Areas of Fog in just a moment. But first, I actually want to ask you a basic question.
Sure.
Why keep track of your thoughts about the weather for an entire year?
Right. Who would do such a thing? I did it because I was struck with writer's block. I had tons of creative energy, but I didn't have a subject. And I was just stalled for a really long time. And so what I did is one day I had this idea that I would resort to our regional habit that we have of when you have nothing to talk about, talking about the weather.
Or complaining about the weather.
Mostly complaining. And so I used the weather as an opening to a series of essays which I kept every week for an entire year.
Well, I would love if you could read a little bit of the fruits of all that labor. And just how about this part right here from your overture?
Sure. This is I wrote this on January 1st. So it was New Year's Day. And this is how it opens. All the weathermen of New England go mad eventually. After a few decades spent attempting to predict the unpredictable, they succumb to a kind of meteorological nihilism and wander out of the studio mid-broadcast, muttering to themselves, and can be seen a week later selling wilted roses on the side of the highway. It's not the seasonal anarchy, all those balmy Christmases and washed-out Junes, but rather the perverse changeability of our daily weather, the adolescent moodiness of our sun and sky, that finally unravels the sweater of their sanity. In the spring, I have counted 136 different kinds of weather inside of 4 and 20 hours, Mark Twain, a Hartford resident for 17 years, once quipped. Yet while they may be doomed to fail, we don't mock our weathermen, even though we see them for what they are, oracles draped in sheep entrails. We don't change the channel. We listen politely to their forecast, and then we talk about it.
That's Will Dowd reading an excerpt of his collection of essays called Areas of Fog. Yeah, we talk about it a lot.
We do. You know, when I started this, it was a conceit. But actually, as I went along, I discovered that I think all our talk about the weather actually has a deeper meaning. I think it's a great uniter. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're rich or poor or old or young. If you're walking through slush, your socks are getting wet.
Yeah. I mean, weather is a great uniter. It's a great equalizer, especially in a place like New England, whose weather is so mercurial. So let me ask you, I mean, New England still has a huge variety of weather on any particular day in any part of the region. Where in New England were you?
Yes. So I grew up on the South Shore. I moved away for a while and then moved back. Perhaps that was contributing to my writer's block, being back in my hometown. We all know what that experience is like. And I'd grown up in New England, taking our fickle weather for granted. And then once I was separated from it and came back, I realized just how sort of strange it is that all the climates of the world seem to come to us and converge on our little corner.
Yeah, I mean, so just for example, I was thinking of on a day that you could be basking under the sun on the South Shore, if you were at the top of Mount Washington in New Hampshire, you could be getting your face blown off by the wind practically.
Absolutely.
But I'd like to just read a little bit from one of your January entry that you made.
Sure.
Because I think this will really, really hit home for so many people listening. You write that it's the existential question that all New Englanders ask themselves in late January. We stand at or lie beneath a sunny window, attempting to bask in secondhand warm, and we ask ourselves the question, why is winter happening to me? Why do I live here voluntarily? I feel like we've come through a couple winters like that where that is exactly what everyone was thinking.
Yes, exactly. I mean, famously, J.D. Salinger said, "Poets take the weather so personally." I think we're all poets in New England. We really treat it as if it's a sentient being, as if it has it's a sort of judgment on us. And I think that does come from our history, our literary history. And even the Puritan history that we have in this region, because they really saw the weather as God's hand and God, you know, blessing or passing judgment on us. And I think we still subconsciously feel that every time, you know, a bride prays for clear skies on her the day of her outdoor wedding, you know, I think we're tapping into that.
You have in a February entry, it's as if certain features of New England weather are copyrighted by certain writers. Dickinson has a trademark on that slant of afternoon light. Frost owns ice-bowed boughs.
Try saying that 20 times fast.
Or even once.
Yes.
And Nabokov has an incontestable claim on melting icicles. Such a good point. Were there other artists, writers, or I'll throw it even further open, painters that inspired you?
Absolutely. So every essay pretty much brings in a historical figure. Andrew Wyeth makes an appearance pretty early because I say when it snows outside, every window becomes the frame to an Andrew Wyeth painting in New England. And that's what inhabits my brain because I was a huge reader, a huge consumer of art. I love this stuff. And I think that weather in particular for New England writers and artists has just been such a great resource for metaphor and material because it's something we all have access to and it's a kind of common language where we can use to ask big questions.
Yeah. You know, you're so right. Once you sort of open your mind to the primacy of weather in New England art and literature, it's hard to stop thinking about it because I was thinking all of a sudden a horse shaking its snowy mane in a Frost poem.
Right.
Or the late summer sun of a Hopper painting from the Cape.
Absolutely.
It just fills your mind. Well, when you get to summer in the essays, you write, all winter you looked forward to summer. You anticipated the return of the sun with religious fervor, convinced that ecstasy and sunlight are the self-same. But here you are, barefoot on a green lawn in June, realizing the difficult truth that happiness is not, in fact, photosynthetic. Oh, it's beautifully written. Although I suppose in the winter one might take objection to that and say yes, because maybe photosynthetic. Right. But where were you when you wrote that?
Oh, I think everybody has this experience where you go through this horrible, monotonous Groundhog's Day of a winter, and you think, once the weather is nice, I'm not going to have a care in the world. But then when that happens, all your troubles are still follow you.
The act of having to think about and write about the weather, had to force you to be more tuned in with the environment, your surroundings, what was happening than I would guess most of us are on a daily basis. Did it make you also observe things about New England that you hadn't or hadn't thought about before?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I love this story about Emily Dickinson, that when she was younger, her father, who was a really imposing guy, taught her how to tell time with a clock, and she didn't get it, but she was too afraid to say that because her father was a little bit scary, and so she kept the secret to herself that she couldn't read a clock. And so until she was in her late teens, she had to tell time using sunlight, you know, almost like a sundial method. And I think her poetry is filled with that kind of imagery, and it felt the same way for me. Once you really tune yourself into the weather, into the, you know, the way the shadows are cast and the way the sunlight feels and acts, it's like you're a little bit tuned into a different time and a different way of measuring the world. But that's, you know, this is the job description of a poet. We're like weather vanes, right? You need to be sensitive to these unseen forces.
Well, Will Dowd's debut collection of essays is called Areas of Fog, and it is an absolute, from the perspective of a reader, it's an absolutely beautiful read. So thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
And I should say that Radio Boston is produced by a bunch of people who bring a lot of sunlight into my life, even on my most mercurial of days. Those folks are Kathleen McNerney, Jamie Bologna, Allison Bruzek. We had help today from Zoe Mitchell, Cassandra Sunt, and Brian Bouchard. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Agnes Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.